Welcome to Phoneboy Speaks, a short podcast about whatever mobile technology, social media, geek culture, information security, or general tech douchebaggery that happens to be on my mind. I worked for Nokia for 10 years, and I got to watch their decline in mobile phones from the inside. Now, granted, I worked for a part of Nokia that wasn't involved in mobile phones that much, but obviously very proud of the company I worked for, and we used their phones quite a lot. And it was kind of frustrating that other people couldn't get the phones as easily because we didn't have much of a market in the United States. And now, after Nokia sold their phone business and ended up and it's funny now. So Nokia doesn't actually make the phones anymore. A company called HMD Global makes the phones, and it's a lot of old cast-offs from Nokia actually that are now responsible for making the phones. And they're doing what they probably should have done a long time ago, which is not make Symbian phones. And I still have a few of these old Symbian phones. I don't think they work for very well anymore, just because the things have changed. But now the new phones that they put out are based on Android, and unlike a lot of companies that put out Android, these are phones that pretty much have stock Android on them. There's maybe a couple of apps on them that are unique to Nokia, but they're not putting out competition to say like an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy, whatever, right? These are mid-range phones, or in some cases, entry-level phones that are actually, they're fairly high quality for what they are. And anytime you buy a phone that's, between $100 and $200, you're going to make some compromises for sure. There's always going to be something that's maybe not quite right, but certainly you can get good value for money if you're looking to get something that's maybe not that expensive. And they actually do have some deals with certain carriers. Now, the phone I bought, which is the Nokia 3.1 Plus, and I bought it unlocked on Amazon, and I'm not sure it's the U.S. model because it looked like it was a Latin America model, but it supports all the GSM providers in the United States, which is just basically AT&T and T-Mobile plus all the virtual network operators that operate on them. But it turns out that Cricket Wireless actually sells the phone, I think that's a U.S. model. There's some little differences in it. I think it supports NFC and maybe some other things, but the basics of it are the same. The one I got doesn't have NFC in it, but being as it's not going to be a primary phone for me, that's maybe not as interesting to me. As for something to play around with Android and make sure that to test certain things I'm doing, it's actually not a bad little phone. It's got 3 gigs of RAM and 32 gigs of storage, although of course a lot of that's used by the operating system. The camera's okay. It's got a fingerprint sensor on it that seems to work all right. It didn't come out of the box with the upgraded to the latest release of Android. But when I fired it up, it of course immediately wanted to update, and it seems like my only complaint with that is that it didn't, that it had to download several updates. So it went from Android 8.1 to 9, and then it downloaded all the security updates. So it's fairly current on security updates, which is great. And it seems to be, doesn't lag too much or whatever. I mean, it's $140 phone. So I don't expect it to be like as fast as my Samsung S8 Plus or as fast as my, my iPhone, right? From that perspective, Twitter works and, the kind of the standard apps, it seems like it's okay. If I was in a situation where I needed to buy, I broke a phone and I needed to use something right then, it seemed like it'd be adequate to get me by until and it's not going to break the bank. And honestly, that's the thing. If you look at the flagship phones, I mean, yeah, there's only so much you can do with it, with small hardware these days. Yeah, the cameras are getting better. Yeah, it's nice that it's at least going to get updates for however long. I think actually the 3.1 Plus might not be the most latest in that particular thing, but it was a decent price. It'll get software updates for at least another year, if not longer, and then Android updates for a while. Which, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, iPhones still get 5-year-old iPhones still get software updates, and even, you know, I think even with the 5S, which is now, I don't know what, 6 or 7 years old, I think even Apple's maybe fixing releasing security fixes for it, but not necessarily, you're not getting like iOS 13, you're getting 12.4 dot something, right, where they fix bugs. I don't know how long they're going to do that, but so if you want something that's actually maybe not going to get it'll get softer updates for a while, and they might fix bugs and that kind of thing, certainly Apple's done a fairly good job of that. If you want to get phones that are, on the Android side that maybe will get updated a little bit more frequently, I wouldn't necessarily get, the Samsungs do get updated, I think, quarterly or something. It seems like that's about as often as I see a software update for them. But this Nokia that I got, it's getting, the latest vulnerabilities and that kind of thing, fixed on it. We'll see how quickly it gets the December update, which of course will be, which should be fairly soon, but, it's decent value for money. I'm sure there's probably, maybe I should be looking at an OTG phone. But I think that's, for people that are still into smartphones, I think it's, you should, it's at least something to look at. I mean, if you don't want to spend a ton of money, if you want the latest and greatest, it may not be necessarily the best thing. Certainly I think for value for money, it's hard to beat. Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. Visit phoneboy.com/PS on the web for more information.